We begin today's show on a solemn note, as it is September the 11th, the 17th anniversary of the terrorist attacks in New York and Washington, and Flight 93, which crashed in Pennsylvania. We remember those who lost, and we think about those who lost loved ones on that terrible day. This is the Locked On Jets podcast. I am your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes or Spotify. And if you do enjoy the show, please leave it a good review in iTunes. We recap a tremendous performance by the Jets, a week one dominating victory, 48-17 over the Detroit Lions on Monday Night Football. Quite a way to start a season. And as this game was winding down in the fourth quarter, I started thinking, because I wanted to put this game into some sort of historical context. And the game, there's a game that really came to mind for me. It was the first game of the 1997 season for the Jets. And they, of course, at that point had gone through a very rough period. Those were the same old Jets years. Those were Bruce Coslett, Pete Carroll, and then most recently the 4-28 two-year disaster under Rich Kotite. So Bill Parcells came in and took over, and the Jets went up to Seattle week one and absolutely annihilated the Seahawks 41-3. And that Jets team did not make the playoffs. And that team had some struggles at various points in the season. They actually missed out on the playoffs because of a defeat the final week of the season at Detroit, which is, of course, where the Jets played last night. But it was a significant game. Because in retrospect, and even at the time, I think we kind of felt it, it sent a message to the rest of the league that, you know, the Jets may not, it wasn't necessarily that the Jets were going to win the Super Bowl that year, but the message was sent that Bill Parcells is now the head coach of this football team, and this is not going to be an easy out. You're not going to look forward to playing the Jets on the schedule anymore. You're not going to see the Jets coming up and automatically pencil in a win. The Jets are now a team that you have to respect. And I couldn't help but think there might be some parallels as I was watching this game last night. It was really just a tremendous job by the Jets. And of course, Parcells only lasted with the Jets for 3 years. Went 9-7 his first year, but narrowly missed the playoffs. The second year, they go 12-4, win the AFC Championship. Third year, 8-8, but strong finish to the year after losing Vinny Testaverde in the opener. If Sam Darnold sticks around, as the Jets hope he will, this might be the start of, you know, 15 years where the Jets have announced to the rest of their league that they're a tough out. Now, do I expect the Jets to play like this the rest of the year? Look, you got to be realistic. I mean, the Jets are not going to, I don't think the Jets have 15 more games like that in them, but I think the Jets may have announced to the rest of the NFL that the days of celebrating the fact that they are on your schedule, the days of saying, this is going to be a win. You know, when the schedule comes out, seeing the Jets on there and saying, well, that's an easy win, they may be over, because the performance the Jets put on last night should have sent notice to the rest of the NFL. And perhaps the Jets fans, that maybe this year will look a little brighter than some of us may have expected going in. Now, I don't want to overstate it because, as I said, leading up to this game, this is overreaction week. So, you know, if you play well week one, you feel like you're unbeatable. If you play poorly week one, you feel like you're going to go winless. That's not the case. And just like with that 97 team that played so well week one, they eventually hit some roadblocks. They ended up losing enough games to narrowly miss the playoffs. I'm not sure. Are the Jets a playoff team this year? I don't know. Could they be a playoff team? Well, if the Jets are going to be a playoff team, that's probably how it would start. And, of course, we begin, I think the first topic we should discuss out of the gate in analyzing this game is the play of Sam Darnold. And I said on yesterday's show that there was going to be a massive overreaction to Darnold's performance one way or another. And the thing I did not count on was that we would get both overreactions. You know, I said if he plays great, we're going to get an overreaction. If he plays poorly, we're going to get an overreaction. And you could actually overreact to, I think there's an overreaction in both directions. We saw at some point last night the overreaction to something negative would be his first play from his first passing attempt in the NFL, which was a pick six. And it wasn't just a pick six, it was a brutal pick six. I mean, it was really bad. The Jets sent back out on a wheel route. They ran a fake, and the fake run play where they're getting everybody to flow in one direction, and so you slip the back out in the other direction. You hope the defense doesn't notice. You're hoping for a bust in coverage, and that ball can only be thrown in that direction if there's a bust in coverage, because unless the guy is wide open, you can't throw the ball across the field like that. Because even though it looked like there was a passing window, but on a throw like that, any sort of passing window is an illusion, because the ball has to travel so far. It takes so long to get there. The defender is going to be able to break on it pretty easily. And Darnold, I mean, that was just a really – I mean, there were interceptions and there were interceptions. And that was a that was a brutal interception. But that was not the end of the game. And look, I was on social media as it happened, and I saw a person or two complain about the Jets trading Teddy Bridgewater. I saw a Sanchez reference out there. That's a Sanchez – it was a Sanchez-type throw. But it was the first throw of his career. Fortunately for Darnold, his career is going to have many more passing attempts after that. And last year, it brought me back to last year, and I wasn't panicking after that interception. And I go back to last year when I was watching him at USC, and as you probably know, I was pretty high on Sam Darnold as he came out of USC. And there were lots of reasons I was high on him, whether it's his ability to process defenses quickly, his ability to throw guys open. I mean, there are lots of things that I point to. One of the weaknesses people had of him, one of the criticisms people had of Darnold, was that he was a lot more mistake prone than your other quarterbacks who were entering the draft, and that's true. And there was something to that, certainly, and to a certain extent, I can understand and appreciate that concern. However, there's another side to that coin. It's good to be able to gauge how a player handles adversity, because lots of guys can go out and dominate in college. In the NFL, no matter how good you are, whether you're Tom Brady, whether you're Aaron Rodgers, you're going to hit a rough patch at some point. And it may be within a game, it may just be a poor decision, it may be a bad throw. Nobody dominates pro football the way great players can dominate college football. A player can dominate college football and play a practically flawless season and make very few mistakes. It's good to have a handle on how players deal with it when prosperity's not there. And one thing I noticed about Darnold is that he shook off failure very quickly. He made a dumb play. He made a stupid throw. He forgot about it the next time he went into the huddle. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad... Now, I'm not saying that, you forget the mistake. You don't learn. It's not necessarily that you don't learn from the mistake. Of course you want your guy to learn from the mistake, but you don't want your guy to be dragged down by it. I think back to recent Jets draftees at the quarterback position, and Mark Sanchez really comes to mind when I think about a guy who maybe was dragged down by his mistakes. You could frequently tell by the end of the first quarter whether Mark Sanchez was going to have a good game. Because if Sanchez got off to a good start, and he started to build a little confidence, you had a good shot of him playing a pretty solid football game. But if he got off to a bad start, if he made an early mistake, those things would snowball on him. And it was not good. And what we saw from Darnold last night was a guy who could not have started his career, the game, the season, worse. Because that was as bad of an interception as you may see all year. And after that, he settled in. He made a lot of good reads, and he threw a couple touchdown passes after that. He played an efficient game. It was not a spectacular game. It was an efficient game, though, and it was impressive for a 21-year-old. First start, national TV, on the road. First touchdown pass to Robbie Anderson. I'm going to tell you something. I watched that play probably 6-7 times because I wanted to get a good handle on what was happening there. I'm convinced Robbie Anderson was a decoy on that play. I look at the way that he was dropping back, a five-step drop, looked like a timing route. The timing just did not match up for Robbie Anderson on that route. What happened was Darnold recognized that the Lions busted the coverage completely, so he changed his plan. He made the right read. He progressed to Anderson and made that throw, and that's what you're supposed to do. But he still noted the place where Darnold was supposed to throw the ball was open. And I think there are a lot of young, inexperienced quarterbacks who would take that completion, kind of get tunnel vision, and not see that Anderson broke free. And Darnold did not. And I'll tell you, that was an impressive throw. And the other thing that really impressed me about Darnold, and look, you can go lots of good reads, pretty accurate throws, I think. There was a point in this game, when the Lions tied it at 17 early in the third quarter, and that was a little scary for the Jets, because the Jets had really dominated the game up to that point, and that's a danger point, because when you've dominated a game and you're still tied in the third quarter and the other team has a little momentum, it can very easily get away from you. And Darnold helped engineer a drive that put the Jets back ahead and take control of the game again. And then things just got out of control. Things snowballed. The Jets ended up putting up 31 unanswered points. I mean, they had interception return for a touchdown. They had punt return for a touchdown. So Darnold did not have to do a lot after that drive. But 3 for 3 on that drive. And then a good throw that drew a pass interference penalty to Quincy Enunwa. A spectacular run by Enunwa to finish it, by the way, for a touchdown. But that's, you know, that's the type of thing where I think the great quarterbacks really make their mark. It's when things are starting to go against their team, when the game is starting to slip away a little bit, how do they respond? And Darnold led the Jets on a drive. They took control of the game right back, and they were in the driver's seat from that point on. And I don't want to overstate how good Darnold was. I think some of his throws could have been a little more accurate. But overall, a very solid performance, very solid debut. And, you know, he took control of that game on that drive, and that's really my biggest memory from this game. And I'll give you a comparison. Sunday night, Mitchell Trubisky for Chicago had plenty of chances. You know, things started to snowball on his team. He was not able to take the bull by the horns and lead his team to get a touchdown to get momentum back. Sam Darnold did. So solid effort. You know, not spectacular. Look, I'm not expecting him to be an MVP the first game out, so I'm not knocking him. Very good, though. I'm very pleased with what we saw. Love that he shook off the early mistake and went out and played a solid football game. 2 touchdown passes, high completion percentage, you know, some solid efficiency, and some very good things that you can take moving forward. You know, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. MyBookie has live in-game betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar if you use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today, that's MyBookie, and use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie. The Athletic is a subscription-based publisher of smarter sports coverage for diehard fans. The Athletic's model is simple. No ads, no pop-ups, and no autoplay videos. Instead, readers subscribe for authentic, in-depth coverage written by journalists who know their teams inside and out. Coverage goes beyond game recaps and trade speculation to provide smarter analysis and a deeper perspective about teams and the league. Subscribers have access to local and national content, with more than 650 new stories published every week across all sports. Subscribe and be part of the future of sports journalism. And if you use theathletic.com/lockedonjets, you can get 40% off your subscription. Again, that's theathletic.com/lockedonjets. Let me give you some additional stars on the offensive side of the ball. Quincy Enunwa, in his return, leads the Jets in receiving. He had that touchdown that put the Jets back in front in the third quarter. Really great run after the catch. And I'll tell you, I think Enunwa is going to be great in this offense. I think that this is an offense that's going to suit his skills quite well. You know, he's a guy who's very good with the ball in his hands, very tough to bring down in the open field. That's what you need. This is an offense that's going to be based on a lot of quick passes, a lot of timing routes, and the receivers are going to be required to make it happen after the catch. In fact, you know, you go back to Sam Darnold's preseason where he had kind of a low efficiency in terms of yards per attempt. I think he, you know, Enunwa wasn't there the first couple weeks of preseason. I think that probably played into it a little bit. Very good fit for this team. Again, Anderson had the long touchdown pass. This is an offense that's going to be, it's not going to be an offense where they're going to throw it deep a lot. It's an offense where they're going to try and get people to try and draw the defense up a little bit and then hit it over the top. And that's what they did. Again, Anderson, I think, was a decoy on that play. But when he breaks open, when there's a chance to be taken, that's when you take the chance. So Anderson adds a long touchdown. Isaiah Crowell, man, I love the way that guy runs. He went over 100 yards. He had a 62-yard touchdown run in the second half, which, I mean, really wasn't that important. The Jets kind of had the game under control by that point. But excellent performance. You know, I really like how he finishes his runs. I mean, he's going to be a closer for this team this year. You know, when you have a tight lead, running the 4-minute offense, trying to run the clock out, he's the hammer you bring in to smash a tired defense. So, you know, I like that very. I liked what I saw from him very much. And then the defensive side of the ball, a tremendous performance. They held the Lions to 10 points. They gave up a field goal right before the half, and then a quick touchdown drive at the start of the third quarter. And the Lions, of course, got a touchdown on the Darnold pick six, but that was all they gave up. And, you know, there were stars up and down the defense. I think my number one star is the guy we've been talking about, you know, the make-or-break year guy, Darren Lee, who I thought played a very poor first half. I mean, the only time that I noticed him in the first half, he got washed out on a play that allowed a nice gain for Detroit. And then I remember he whiffed on a tackle attempt. And then the second half, I mean, he was a different play. He finally looked like an impact first-round player in that second half last night. And I thought the first interception, he had two interceptions. The first one I thought was kind of a gift. It kind of fell into his hands. Henry Anderson got a good pressure on Matthew Stafford. So I think it was more Anderson than Lee. But I tell you, sometimes it's just one little play that gets you going. And after that point, Lee just looked like he had so much more confidence out there. And that second pick, that's why you drafted Lee. That's what I've been looking for this whole time. Reading the eyes, breaking on the ball. You're looking for a plus. You're looking for an impact guy against the pass. And he almost had a third. He almost had a third interception. He got his hands on it. So I've said this frequently. Look, is Lee ever going to be a guy who's great at shedding blocks? No. Are you going to have to deal with some deficiencies against the run yet? I'll live with that if he can make impact play, if he can be an impact guy against the pass. And not only was he an impact guy against the pass, he ended up tying for the team lead in tackles with 7. He just started flying all over the floor. It just seemed like that interception had him playing with so much more confidence. Very encouraging sign for the Jets. Can he continue it? We'll see. But this was a big, you know, this was step one. You have to start somewhere. Very encouraging to see him start this season like this. We'll see where he goes from here. Jamal Adams, you know, the first-round pick the year after Lee, another guy expected to take a big step this year, another guy the Jets need to take a big step. Phenomenal performance by Jamal Adams. All over the field, couple stops against the run, one touchdown he broke up with a big hit as the receiver was catching the ball, helped set up an interception by Trumaine Johnson with a hit. Finally picked off a pass of his own, so now I can finally... go past people. All these people were bellyaching how he did not have an interception last year. I'm glad we put that to bed. Really looked like an impact safety out there. So excellent performance by Adams. Henry Anderson, who's supposed to be a run stopper, couple big hits on the quarterback, including the one that helped set up the Lee interception. You look at the cornerback position, and the Jets were having some trouble early in the game generating a pass rush. They got a little bit, the pass rush heated up a little bit later on. Morris Claiborne stood tall, had an interception. Buster Skrine, I thought, played a very solid game. You know, the only guy on the defense who I thought did not play a good game was Trumaine Johnson. It was a rough game for Johnson. He was beaten a couple times on some big plays. He had an interception, then he fumbled it away on a big hit, which he got hurt on, unfortunately. He also had a pass interference penalty. But in a way, like, I'm almost encouraged because Johnson didn't even play well. Johnson played poorly in this defense, still played a great game. And they didn't have Marcus May either. So these are like two of the most important players on defense who one did not suit up, the other did not play well, and the defense still was great. So Johnson's probably going to get better over the course of the season. May will be back at some point. So, you know, it's kind of an encouraging sign for the Jets, isn't it? The fact that, you know, without two of your impact guys, defense still played like that. Got to be happy with that type of performance. And you know something else? Todd Bowles, Casey Rogers, they take a lot of criticism. And I think some of it's deserved. I think some of it's not deserved. You're going to criticize these guys when things go poorly. You got to give them credit for what they did tonight, because this defense looked as good as the Jets were hoping it would look. And then, of course, special teams. And listen, I do not want to hear nobody email me and, you know, start laughing about how I made all these prognostications. I was worried about the Lions punt returns. I was worried about the special teams. I always get these emails, and they're always good natured. Well, I got one email about Chad Hansen, hype last week about how I hyped up Chad Hansen during the offseason and he ended up getting cut, and it was fine. It's all in good nature. Do not email me about the special teams, because you were, I guarantee you, if you're being honest, you were just as worried about the special teams as I was. But man, what a performance by the special teams from top to bottom. Now, Myers, I mean, Mr. Myers, who's the kicker, Jason Myers, I mean, he didn't really have any tough kicks. He connected on those that he had, though. It's a good performance by him. Lachlan Edwards, two out of three punts were downed inside the 20. But the big star, I think, Andre Roberts, who out of nowhere, just a phenomenal game as a punt returner, including a 78-yard touchdown return that really just kind of turned this into a laugher in the second half. Really looking explosive with the ball. So quite a good, you know, you got to love what you saw. I mean, all three phases of the game were phenomenal. The Jets took a 17-17 game and blew it open in a very short span in the third quarter. And during that very short span, they had a touchdown on offense, a touchdown on defense, and a touchdown on special teams. They had the Anunua touchdown catch, a Lee pick six, and a return out of a punt by Andre Roberts for 78 yards and a score. For my final thought, I just want to point out one thing that I really liked from this team in this game, and that was the resiliency. And there were two points in particular, and we kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier, and I praise Sam Darnold at both these points, but I think really it said something good about the team at this early point. Now, will it sustain itself? I don't know, but I like the fact that both times the Jets seemed like they were kind of in trouble, they bounced back. And they really dominated the game. From the second snap from scrimmage on, they dominated the game. You know, that first interception, they did not let that snowball on them. It's very easy in a road scenario where the other team's crowd is going nuts, very easy to let that snowball on you, let the game get out of control. They stabilized the game very quickly. They put together a touchdown drive, aided by a phenomenal play on a third down by Darnold, where they allowed pressure up the middle. Darnold made a great, you know, great scramble and found Quincy Anunua made a great catch that was challenged. And for whatever reason, this ESPN crew thought that was going to be an incompletion. That was a completion. I have no idea what they were. I mean, I guess they've never heard the Bird Emanuel rule from the 99 NFC Championship game. But just because the ball hits the ground doesn't make it an incompletion. If the receiver has control of the ball, it can hit the ground, and that ball never moved. You know, Anunua clearly had. I don't know what those announcers saw, that they were adamant that they were so adamant that it was incomplete. I thought that ball was complete the whole time. I didn't even. So, but anyway, I digress. You know, they came back, they tied the game, and they really dominated for the rest of the first half. And then, you know, Detroit gets 10 quick points. They get the field goal before the half, and they go right down the field and score a touchdown at 17-17. And again, it's a situation where, you know, it's very easy for things to get away from you, very easy to get demoralized. You know, you've blown a 10-point lead quickly, you've had the better of play, and you're still tied in the third quarter. Instead, the Jets went out and delivered the knockout blows that they needed to deliver. And look, part of the story for this game, there's no doubt, part of the story is that the Lions were very bad. The Lions were terrible in this game, and that's part of the story of this game. But the Jets were also very good. And yes, you know, if you've listened to this show in past years, you know I have a theory that there's a game or two every year where you do nothing wrong, and there's a game or two every year where you do nothing right. In this game, this was one of the Jets games where they could do nothing wrong. It's one of Detroit's games where they could do nothing right. Things will even out over the course of the year. You know, the Jets will have a terrible game. The Jets probably won't play like this. I mean, the Jets may not play like this again all year. And that's not to say they won't win games, but tough to sustain playing like this. But again, is this a statement to the rest of the league? You know, is this the type of game we'll look back on? How many games are the Jets going to win this year? I don't know. Are they going to contend for the division? Well, maybe not. Maybe not. Are they going to contend for a playoff spot? If this is any sign they will. Will they make the playoffs? I don't know. But has the rest of the league been put on notice that the Jets are no longer an easy out? You're not going to be happy to see the Jets are coming to town anymore. Will we look back on this 10 years from now as, you know, the start of something special? Even if it's not, look, it may not be 2018, but we're in this for the long haul with a young quarterback, a young rookie quarterback. This team's building for the long haul. And this may have just been a first step, but it was a heck of a first step. Thank you for listening today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes. Hope you have a wonderful Tuesday, and I mean, heck, it's a victory Tuesday. We'll talk again on Wednesday.